Luke 21 talks about the end times. How many of you know we're in the end times?
Yes, sir.
Verse 25, it says a number of things in this chapter. But verse 25 says some of the signs that will be here. It will be the sign in the sun and the moon and the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. I don't believe that's physical heart, although a person could have a heart attack physically because of fear. But I believe he's talking about like David and before Goliath, he said to the Israel, the army, don't let your heart fail for fear of him. So I believe that's what he's referring to. He's talking about the spirits of men fainting and failing to produce what they're supposed to produce, which is faith. Amen. How many of you know fear and faith can't be in the same heart at the same time? So men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall you see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and with great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Hallelujah. There's things I wish I had time to get into. We got to stick with what God's saying to me. But, that's not a time. These end times are not a time for the believer, the child of God, to be scared and afraid. He said, when you see the beginning of this, how many of you noticed he said the beginning? He didn't say you're going to see the whole thing. He said, you're going to see some things coming on the scene. And he said, look up, because it's... What's he mean, redemption? We're already redeemed. Well, he's talking about this body being transformed into an immortal body.
Yes.
Woo! The rapture. Praise the Lord. It's the pattern of God that what comes, the judgment that comes on the world whatever, you see it all through the Bible, is not for the righteous. Whenever the flood came, Noah was in the ark. Those are the only righteous ones on the earth. When Sodom and Gomorrah was judged, all the righteous were brought out. That was only one family. You see that throughout the Bible. Whenever plagues were in Egypt, the people of God were in Goshen with no plagues. That's our covenant. We're redeemed not just from sin, but from what's going on out there in the world. Somebody said, well, what's going on out there in the world? Well, there's the law. What the Bible calls in Romans 8, the law of sin and death.
Yes, sir.
Yes. If you study the Bible carefully, it's like a wheel. It's like a cycle.
Yeah.
Right.
Things cycle around. Sin builds up until it comes to judgment.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Death is not just physical death.
That's right. That's right.
Although it does produce physical death. Spiritual death produced physical death. Physical death didn't come into the world until spiritual death came into the world. Amen. The Bible said that God said to Adam, the day you eat of the tree, you'll die.
Yes.
Adam ate of the tree and lived physically for over 900 years more.
Yes.
Whoops, God, you missed it. No. No, actually, in the Hebrew it says, in dying you shall die. So the day you eat of it, in dying you'll die. They died spiritually that day because spiritual death means separation from God.
Yes.
And remember that very evening when God came to fellowship with him in the cool of the evening in the garden, the Bible said he hid himself. His spirit is separated now from God. Now, what he once had fellowship with God, now he's afraid of God. So he died spiritually, and in spiritual death, that opened the door to physical death. So when he said the law of sin and death, he's not talking about just physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. The day a man sins, he dies spiritually. I'm talking about before he's born again. So whenever this law of sin and death in Romans 8 verses 1 and 2 is mentioned, he didn't say it belongs to us. Remember verse number 1, Romans 8, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
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 For the law of the spirit, law of the spirit of life, verse 2, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, what does that mean? That just simply means what we see out here in the world where sin builds up and it produces judgments. Where it produces something starts falling apart. Whether it be the economic scene, whether it be wars and divisions and races rising up against one another, or you name it. Economic trouble, political trouble, all sorts of stuff. Or destruction, or famines, or plagues, all these things he mentioned right here that we didn't even read all of them. Those are all the cycle of this law of sin and death in the earth. Every now and then it catches up to individuals. Every now and then it catches up to families. Every now and then it catches up to cities. I can say some things about the 2008 flood that I have never said here in Cedar Rapids. The Lord spoke to me about it. I'm telling you, I haven't even said it. I had never told what the Lord said about it, because most people wouldn't be able to handle it. But caught up. It doesn't pay to resist what God's doing in a city. I'll just say that. Don't get mad at me. I'm just saying. See, somebody said, are you saying God sent that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God doesn't send that. But anyway, I'll just get off of that before people start wanting me to say more. I didn't ask him about it. He just spoke to me about it. And I was actually amazed when he said it. But it catches up to cities every now and then. Every now and then it catches up to nations, this law of sin and death. And every now and then it catches up to the whole planet. That's what Noah's flood was. It caught up to the whole planet. The earth was full of violence. Remember? Now, if you read Genesis 15, go quickly over to Genesis 15. And verse number, let's start in verse number, we'll have to turn there and I'll see. Verse number 16 is the one I want to get to. We just have to lay a little bit of foundation to say what we need to say here tonight. Genesis 15, verse number 13. This is when God was making a covenant with Abram. Verse 13, he said to Abram, know of a surety, thy seed will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. They shall afflict them 400 years. Now that was Egypt. This is way before that happened. God told Abraham ahead of time. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I what? So what happened there in those plagues is judgment. Primarily for the way they responded to the people of God. That nation will I judge. We're going to talk a little bit about some of that tonight. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. There's really two sides. The believer, those following God, when it comes to Bible judgment, excuse me, the believer shouldn't get afraid. They should really be started getting full of joy. Because judgment is a two-edged sword. And you choose which side you get on. You get on one side, it's calamity. Egypt found that out. You get on the other side, and whatever comes out of the calamity comes into the hands of the people of God. Whatever they lost, the people of God get. Amen. I've bought houses that way. We bought these buildings that way. People don't think of it in terms of judgment, but that's exactly what it was. These people had to get out and run quick. These two buildings over, actually all three of those buildings, they had to get out and run quick, and they just dropped it, and the bank said, well, where'd you go? And they had actually left to Mexico. Stopped payment and everything. The bank said, we want these off our books by the end of the year. And they said, do you want to buy them? I said, no. Well, you need to buy them. I said, no. And then Dr. Dufresne got on me. He said, have you prayed about it? I said, no. I said, I don't want to pray about it. I already know the answer. He said, well, you don't follow a prophet. You follow your spirit. But he said, you ought to pray about it. I said, doctor, I don't even need to pray. I know God's dealing with me. I just don't want to blah, 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 you know. And so I told the bank, they said, do you want to buy them? I said, well, I'll buy them. But, you know, I'm not going to give you much money for them. So we got them off their books. And they squirmed and they squealed and they said, you're stealing them from us. I said, well, you're the one saying you would offer for that price. I didn't say it. See, they were the ones under the pressure. I didn't need to buy them by December 31st. They needed them off of the books by December 31st. I don't mean me, but you know the church when buying it. So actually, there's a funny story on that building, down the EDM building. They said, well, we can't go that low. The Lord gave me an amount, a price. They said, we can't go that low. I said, well, Lord, I went back to prayer. I said, Lord, you gave me that price.
Yeah.
He said, do this. You put the amount in there saying that the bottom line. And then you put these contingencies in. If the air conditioner inspection doesn't come out right, then here's how much money I get out of that. If the sprinkler system doesn't come out, inspection doesn't come out right, here's much money gets deducted off of that. And he told me all the things to put in. By the time we were done, we settled, it was down to the price the Lord had told me. And they said, man, you're hurting us. I said, you agreed to the agreement. I mean, I just told you, here's an offer. Anyway, but see, that's because they were in a squeeze, you know, and their other guy had to bail. Actually, the guy that owned those two buildings wanted this building, and he said, all right, I'll let you buy it as long as whenever you're done with it, that you give me first option. I said, sounds good. I knew that I was going to be done way after he was done.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That he was going to be done way before I was done.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have plans to move at the time. So, but I ended up, me, rather than us, offering him an offer, first offer on this, we got first offer on his.
Yeah.
Because of, I could get into more, but because of sin, to be honest with you. That's why he ran, because of sin. How many of you know what I'm, I just
yes,
say
sir.
That.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Judgment.
Yes, sir. Judgment.
Ha, ha, ha.
Ah.
Their loss, our gain. That's exactly what he said that would happen to his people. He said, that nation whom they shall serve, Genesis 15:14, I will judge. Afterwards shall they come out with great substance. The church, this church, is real estate rich.
Yes, sir.
Because of exactly what this verse says right here. And so thou shalt go to thy, verse 15, go to thy fathers in peace and shall be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. In other words, out here to Canaan's land. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Look at that term. The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So he's saying, I'm going to have you drive these Amorites out in four generations, not now, because their iniquity is not yet full.
Yeah.
Notice that term, their iniquity is full. That's describing sin as something that is in a cup or a container, and it builds and builds, and it gets fuller and fuller, and eventually it overflows. When it starts overflowing, that's called judgment.
Yes, sir.
When it gets full, it starts overflowing into judgment. Are you with me tonight? That's what we're up against on the planet again. It happened in Noah's day. The earth was full.
Yeah.
Say full.
Full.
Full of violence.
Full. Right.
Not just a little bit. It got full.
Yes. Yes.
Have you been noticing the world getting full?
Yes. Yes.
Come on.
Yep. It's getting full again. It's getting full. That's where the Antichrist is going to come from and all of that. I mean, people, the righteous would never, you know, go along with what's going to bring in the Antichrist.
Right.
But it's getting full. I don't know how much you know, but there are some crazy things going on right now. And it's not just in one nation. And it's getting full. Now, go back here to Luke 21. We're bumping up against this. We're bumping up against this overflow of the sin in the world overflowing into judgment. And it's called the Great Tribulation. We're bumping up against that.
Yeah.
The Great Tribulation is judgment on what's going on in this world.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's really Jesus taking over again is what it is. Cleaning out the wickedness and setting up the kingdom of God in physical form. Now it's here in spiritual form.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. And we've got authority in that kingdom. We've got authority in our realm.
Yes.
You understand?
Yeah.
But notice here in Luke 21, look what it says here. This is the King James says, distress of nations. Is that how it says it? The Amplified says, without resources, left wanting and embarrassed. Other translations say the same thing, lacking resources. So you look up that word, distress of nations and perplexities, it has to do with economic trouble. Economic distress.
Yeah, come on now.
Now, I mean, you don't have to have a degree in accounting or finance to know that the rate the United States government is printing money.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on.
Inflation is ahead.
Come on.
The value of the dollar is going down. So forth and so on. Somebody said, are you prophesying? No, I'm just saying statistics, data. Now, I don't know if it's accurate, but I know something in this vicinity is true. I saw a statistic recently that 40% of the money in circulation in the United States today, in circulation, has been printed in the last year. That can't last. And now they're talking about another $3 trillion. Now, I'm not prophesying. I'm just simply saying that can't last.
It cannot last. That's exactly right.
You understand? So what are we going to do? Get distressed? This law of sin and death in the earth that I'm talking about, I'm not talking about this law of sin and death in the earth because it belongs to us believers. It doesn't belong to you and I as believers. We're on another system.
Amen.
Or let me put it this way. Through being doers of the word, we're supposed to wean ourselves off of our faith in that system and get our faith over on the system of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. Can I just preach about it just a little bit? So things are filling up. This law, this earth is filling up, and some things are going to catch up with it. Now, somebody said, well, Pastor, I believe I'm redeemed from that. Exactly. But I'm just simply saying, you're going to have to use some faith to walk free from what's shaking and moving out there. You're going to have to follow the Spirit. You're going to have to do what He says. And we're completely redeemed. What happens in Egypt? See, Egypt's a type of the world. You can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Egypt's a type of the world. The deliverance out of Egypt is through the Red Sea is a type of the new birth.
Yeah. Yep.
But how many of you know they came out of that and then they came out with silver and gold? You remember Psalm 105? I'll just read it to you. I'll just refer to the passage. Psalm 105, what is it? I got it written down somewhere down here. 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. He's referring to what happened, or what God said to the Israelites to do in Exodus 12:35-36. Whenever they were they ate the Passover, and then God said, "Keep your garments ready, keep everything ready to go, because you're out of here tonight." And so they were eating the Passover. They had the blood on the doorpost. And God said, eat it quick because you're going out of here tonight. And he said to them, if you read in Exodus 12:35-37 down through there, he said, now go borrow. King James says borrow. The actual Hebrew says ask of the Egyptians of their gold and their silver. And they did that. They all went to whoever was their slave master and say, we're out of here tonight. Give me your gold and your silver.
Yeah.
And because of all the plagues, the Bible said, everybody, all the Egyptians said, sure, get out of here. Here's my gold and silver. Get out of here.
Yeah.
I mean, because their firstborn died. Their cattle are dead. Their waters turned to blood. And everything. Lice and flies. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, this place is filling up with judgment. And it's because of the way, and they finally figured it out, it's because of the way we're treating the people of God. God said, go tell them you want their gold and their silver before you go. So they all went and got their gold and silver. They came out loaded down with gold and silver. And yet, they were in the wilderness for 40 years because God intended them to go into Canaan's land with that gold and silver. They were out there. How many of you know in the wilderness you can't do anything with gold and silver? There's no place to buy bread. You got all the gold to buy all the bread you need, but you can't find a place to buy it. There's no water. So it's like the new birth. We are redeemed from Egypt, and we came out redeemed from the curse of poverty and sickness. That's what that is a type of. We're redeemed from the curse of poverty and sickness. But what I'm saying is, you can be redeemed, and you can be really given all things that pertain to life and godliness, and still live like you don't have it.
That's true.
Because God, and God started taking, go over to Deuteronomy chapter number 8 here now. Deuteronomy 8 is God saying, basically, I'll just kind of paraphrase here. Let me just read it, and then we'll paraphrase it. Deuteronomy 8, God said in verse 1, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know." Get this, this is what it's all about. "That he might make thee to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live." Now, there's a whole lot there. There's a lot of religion that people preach out of that verse. They seek that humbled thee, the Lord humbled thee, and so forth and so on. Let me just kind of give you a quick understanding of what it meant, the Lord humbled thee. How many of you know it wasn't God that put them out in the wilderness for 40 years? They put themselves out there through unbelief and disobedience. And when he said he humbled them, all he is saying, period, is, "I wouldn't bless you in disobedience." Period. That's all that means. People want to do their own thing and then walk in all the blessings of God. Governments want to do their own thing. Nations want to vote for their abortion, baby killing mess and then keep the blessings of God. Don't work. Abortion is sin. Murder. And that's not the only thing people think, "Oh, that's just your pet peeve." There's a thousand things. I mean, not paying your bills is a sin. Being in debt so far is a sin. There's just a lot of stuff. Well, am I preaching doom and gloom in America? We missed some things in this last election. Now, it's not going to be as bad because the people of God have finally gone to their prayer closet. And some are going to be going when the ouch and the squeeze starts coming. Out of necessity, they're going to finally have to say, "No, I'm going to have to learn to live by faith now." Well, you could have learned that for the last 30 years as being preached. You and I, by the Spirit, are following and listening to the Holy Ghost and being prepared by hearing the message of faith for what's coming. And we're going to sail through it. And like we're going to go through like the three Hebrew children in the burning fire furnace. We're going to come out without a smell of smoke. But not just because we're saved, but because we're renewing our mind to the kingdom of God financial system. And we're learning to put God first, not serve money. Money's not the object of what we're after. It is a tool to do the will of God. And we're learning how to walk by faith and receive it. Are you still out there? And so I got so much going on the inside of me. Really, all that God has taught us about faith, and even faith for, particularly faith for prosperity in these last number of decades, is going to be put to test in the days to come. Amen. All that God has been talking to us in the last 35, 40 years concerning the message of faith is to get the body of Christ into her Canaan's land and out of the wilderness. Born again, all right, got out of Egypt, came across the Red Sea, which is a type of the new birth, and wandering around in the wilderness. What is the wilderness? Amongst other things, it's the place where people live who don't go and obey. Remember what he said there in Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 2? Did you see that? "And the commandments which I command thee this day shalt thou observe to do and to live and multiply and go in and possess the land." In other words, do this so I can get you into Canaan's land. What is the wilderness? It's a place of not enough. Barely enough. How many of you know it was day to day? It was hand to mouth. It was just enough for that day. Not enough for tomorrow. You got to learn to trust God for another day.
Come on.
Come on now. If that's where we've been living, that's not God's plan. God's plan is Canaan's land. And it didn't take them, it wasn't God that took it, made it take 40 years to get into Canaan's land. It was Israel's disobedience to use their faith. So all that God's been saying to us for the last 40 some years, I'd have to go figure it up, about faith is to, for him to get us into our Canaan's land. Somebody said, you're talking about heaven. Well, wait a minute. There's no giants in heaven. I'm not talking about heaven. You understand? I'm talking about the Bible said, the Bible called it in Deuteronomy 11, days of heaven on the earth.
That's right.
On the earth.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, you, I don't know if you're going to help me do it or not, but I'm going to preach myself happy tonight. Days of heaven on the earth.
Amen.
Days of heaven on the earth. In Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. He didn't say if the economy's not shaken. He said, just be willing and obedient. Here he said, just keep my commandments. Do what I said. I'm teaching you by saying, here's what I want you to do. I'm teaching you that man lives by the word that proceeds out of my mouth. Take what I say and do it. That's how you're going to live. You don't live by bread. You don't live by, let's put it this way. See, we got bread in our refrigerator, but let's say it this way. Bank accounts. You don't live by what's in your bank account. We live by faith. We live by doing the word. That'll put it in the bank account, but we don't start trusting the bank account. We trust that if I will obey God, if I will do what he said, if I will put him first, if I will not serve money, but I will make it serve me as I serve God, if I will do all these things, not covet it, not seek it, not put it first, but make it obey me. And I use it to advance the kingdom of God, to be faithful in a few things so he can make me ruler over much. If I'll do all these things, that's my source. That's my source. That's my source. That I live by the word. Whether it's convenient, inconvenient. Whether my flesh likes it or my flesh doesn't like it. If he says, give this and I don't want to, I live by the word. I don't live by what I want to. Free from money, free from it controlling me. Amen. Everything's on the altar. I'm obedient to what he says to do. So all this is God's taught us about faith in particular for prosperity and even other things is going to be put to the test in the days to come. But don't be afraid whenever I say that. Some people have chosen to learn now and be prepared ahead of time. That's what Noah did. God spoke to him ahead of time, and he was delivered from the flood of trouble that was about to come on the earth.
Yeah.
Sailed right through it, whistling Dixie. Are you out there? Well, somebody said, that ark, that represents being in Christ.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily. In one sense, yes, but not completely. It represents, according to the 7th chapter of Matthew, 24 through 27, it represents hearing these sayings of his and doing them.
Yes.
He said, that man will make it through the storm.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he said? Remember, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, he's like a man, well, first of all, hears these sayings and does them not. He's like a man who builds his house on the sand, remember? And the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon a house and it fell. Then the man built, he heard the sayings of God and did them. Heard the word and did it. Here he's like a man built on the rock. Same flood came, same winds blew, same trouble came, and he lasted through it. What was the difference? Only one thing. He did what he heard in the word. Only difference between those two storms. Only difference between those two stories and those two people in that storm. Now, the house, whoever hears these sayings of mine and builds, doeth them is like a man builds his house upon the rock. The house can represent anything that belongs to a man in God. It's not just his physical house. Or, you know, it can be his life. It can be his home. It can be how he raises children. It can be how he walks in love with his spouse. It can, and that'll be building his marriage on hearing and doing the word. It can be his long life and his physical health for to live long and finish his course. It could be his prosperity. Let's take the prosperity one, since we're talking about that tonight. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, he's like a man who builds his prosperity on the rock. So when all this comes and starts shaking all around him, his prosperity cannot go down. It's a different kind from a different source. Amen. Ooh, I like to think about that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When you're obedient to hear and do the word, you're setting yourself up to be taken care of no matter what goes on in the world. Pastor, didn't you mean God setting you up? No, I said what I meant. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. God's going to do that. He's done everything he's going to do about your prosperity. He has done. You need to get a hold of that. He's done everything he's going to do about your prosperity. You'll make your way prosperous. Amen. By hearing the word and doing it, by obeying the leadings of the Spirit and walking in obedience, you're being prepared, and things that could be on the horizon for this nation are not going to shake you. Are you out there? It's not going to catch you off guard. You've been practicing a different system of prosperity long before it came. Amen. And you're ready for any economic trouble that could be coming, because you've been a person who's weaned off of depending on your money and depend on God by doing the word he promises to take care of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, before we go any further, you need to understand something, that there are really, you and mine's prosperity is a different kind. Divine prosperity is what we're talking about. I've discovered that there's two kinds of prosperity. The divine kind of prosperity, that's the one I'm interested in. It's the kind that lasts in the storms and in adversity. And they won't destroy a man either. People say, oh, money's evil. You know, people get a little money and they backslide and they don't serve God anymore and so forth and so on. Well, that's a different kind. That's Proverbs 1:32. The prosperity of a fool will destroy him. All right, maybe we haven't preached on this enough lately. Some rusty gears going. You remember that? The prosperity of a fool. There is a kind of a prosperity that will destroy a man. We see it whenever we hear of people winning the lottery. I mean, it ruins their lives. Now they got more debt, more trouble, more enemies, more. Because it wasn't the money that destroyed him, it was the fool that destroyed him. The foolishness. So, because they're not built on the word. They're built on the world. See, there's the world's kind, and then there's the word's kind. Remember, the difference between that is L, and what an L do you want? Remember that? So, I've found that men don't really have a problem with money or having prosperity. Because really, they're out there all trying to get it. Isn't that right? But some just have a problem with God's instructions about how to do it his way. They'll do it their way. You know what I mean? They just have a problem with the divine kind. Through his word and through obedience to his word, doing things his way. They really, what they have a problem with is their faith. Their faith is in what they can do, what they are putting their hand to. Their faith is in their money or in their investments or whatever. That's their security. That makes their future bright.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on now.
Their trouble is their faith is in that rather than their faith is in God. Now, putting faith in God, God will give you all those things, but your faith isn't in them. Remember Jesus said, how hard is it for them to have riches to enter into the kingdom of God? The disciples all gasped, had to swallow they almost swallowed their false teeth. And Jesus said, brethren, he said, no, how hard is it for them to trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It's harder for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they breathed a sigh of relief. Because basically what they heard was, we can't get into the kingdom of God if we have money. Why would they be scared? Why would that bother them? Because they had money. Jesus clarified, no, it's putting trust in it that makes it hard for a man to get into the kingdom of God. So you can have money and not have your faith in it. 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world, they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. I'm quoting a lot of verses tonight. But that's trusting in money that you have in the bank in an investment. That makes my future secure. Well, God said he'd give us barns. Bible said he would bless our storehouses. Bible said he'd bless what we put our hand to. So we're going to put our hand to something. We're going to have investments. We're going to have storehouses. We're going to have accounts. And all those things are there. But in this system, you can have all those things. But that's not where your faith is. You keep going back to what brought that is doing the word. And doing the word is going to keep me blessed. The world shakes and the world's economy goes up and down or whatever, I'm secure.
That's right.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord. And part of that is giving into the kingdom of God. Remember, Jesus said, don't lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust can corrupt. That's just simply saying money on this earth is not certain.
Yes, sir.
It can go down like that.
Yes.
It can just disappear almost in investments and stuff. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, there's been nations that their economy shook so much that I heard of Turkey. Was it Turkey, I believe, just the other day? Their currency almost became worth nothing. I mean, you had these big stacks of bills to go and buy groceries, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just, things can happen. And people say, this is America. It couldn't happen. Oh, go think again.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Sin is in America just like it's in other places.
Yeah.
Now, the righteous are here too, and we can pray.
Yes.
There's some things we can stop.
Yes.
But we missed a good opportunity in the election.
Yes,
so there's some things that we already missed.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, don't get mad at me for getting political. I'm just saying, just whenever you have dum-dums up there who keep printing money, and the former president did it too, so don't think I'm talking about one. Anyway, I get off of that. People get all upset at me talking about it. Praise the Lord. Somebody said they liked it. Well, good. People have a problem with God telling them what to do and what not to do. Our prosperity is a different kind. It has a different source. And that's what Proverbs 10:22 means when it says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it. Did you ever read that verse? He adds no sorrow with it. The Amplified says, he makes truly rich, the blessing of the Lord makes truly rich, and he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. So what does that mean, truly rich? There are people that think they're rich who are not truly rich. Truly rich is something that's certain. Let me tell you something that's certain. It's nothing in this realm. It's nothing in this realm. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Or lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt. And thieves break through and steal. What he's saying is by moth and rust and thieves and so forth stealing. That's saying nothing on this earth is certain.
That's right.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Don't say, well, mine is. No, nothing on this earth is certain.
Yeah.
I don't care if you got gold bars in the backyard. Nothing in this earth is certain.
That's right.
Amen. Fine. Bury them. Don't tell anybody. But see, nothing. What makes something certain? He said, don't lay up treasures on earth where those things can happen. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, if it's up there, it's not mine, is it? No, he said for yourself.
Yeah.
Most people misquote that. Lay up treasures in heaven, they'll say. He didn't say that. He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust can't corrupt, thieves can't break through and steal. So there's a way to secure yourself financially.
Yeah.
Your future.
Yes.
Secure your future financially. Somebody said, is it wrong? You're saying it's wrong to put investments in whatever, stocks, bonds, whatever. Well, bonds ain't worth much. but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Is it wrong? No, I didn't say do that. I'm just saying make it secure with what you do in the kingdom of God.
Right.
Are we in the right room tonight? Everybody still with me? By doing, by hearing and doing the word. That's what makes it certain. That's what makes it certain. Somebody said, well, what if it goes down? Well, you've got a supply. God will bring it from another route because of the way you have been conducting yourselves in the kingdom of God, doing the word, being faithful. Then God has obligated himself to take care of you financially in the worst of times. Besides that, he'll lead you to pull it out before it goes down. Am I going to put it into cash? Well, if you want to. But fiat ain't going to last much longer either, I'll just tell you. Somebody said, why did it take $1.25 to fill my gas tank? Well, I don't know if anybody's around here in the 50s filling their tank, but fill my gas tank in the 50s, and now it takes me $45. It's called deflation. Inflation. The value of your money, that's the way the government gets their money back, all these taxes. They make your dollar worth more. I mean, worth less. Fiat is backed by nothing.
Come on.
Anyway, I'll get off of that. Anyway, some of you don't know quite to think about all that, but just do your own studying. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you know that the blessing can do more for you in 10 minutes than you can do for yourself in 10 years? Oh, have I seen it. Hallelujah. Praise God. But that's being done for those who are obedient. Okay, people say God's my source. But if they're not hearing and doing what he said, God's not their source. You can go around quoting that. That's your prerogative. But without hearing and doing what he said, that's not really true.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Anyhow, everybody that's still happy. This takes a constant washing of the water of the word to keep our minds and thinking right. Because that's where a lot of this trouble is. It's in people's thinking. You can come out of the kingdom of darkness, but your thinking still be in the kingdom of darkness. Your thinking still be in the ways of the world. I don't know if that makes sense to you. Remember Jesus, the Bible said, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what, the word transform means your life is different. Everybody else is going down. You're doing fine. A lot of us experienced this in 2008 whenever things started shaking, you know. Was that 2008, I believe? The economy really shook for a while. Testimony after testimony, people, they went through that, actually came out doing better than whenever they went into it. A lot of people didn't experience that.
Right, that's true.
You know what I'm talking about? That's because we're weaning ourselves off of the world system. Why? Because we're renewing our mind and our lives, through the renewing of our mind, our life is transformed.
Amen.
That's not the only thing that means, but it'll show up in that, in your finances as well. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So practicing a life of doing what the word says is you possessing your land of prosperity. It's you possessing your Canaan's land, so to speak. And so he's saying out there in Deuteronomy 8, all those things I was teaching you what to do in my word, it was to get you into Canaan's land. Remember that? And whenever you wouldn't obey me, I didn't bless you in that. And then you came down low. That's what humble meant, to be down low. If you look up the word humble, it means to be down low. So A lot of times people said, well, God's trying to keep us humble by keeping us poor. No, God's not doing that. Disobedience is doing that. Praise the Lord. And listen, let's not kid ourselves. This doesn't take long for us to get out of this system and have experienced the blessings of God. Amen. Well, anyway. So, practicing a life of doing the Word now, doing what God says now, and passing these lessons and passing these tests now, is us being prepared to handle greater prosperity. Amen. You don't qualify for great wealth whenever you get it. You qualify ahead of it by learning the habit of practicing obedience to the Word, even when you don't feel like you can. Amen. Now go to Deuteronomy 8, 1 and 2 again. I want you to see verse 2 especially. Thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee those 40 years in the wilderness. Remember all the ways, not just the ones regarding prosperity. When he leads us and teaches us about walking in love, that's laying another block on the foundation of our prosperity. When he teaches us to put him first, honor him with the first of all our increase, that's another block on the foundation of our house that will cause us our prosperity to stand in the storm. Praise God. When he teaches us about faithfulness, when he teaches us about honor, when he teaches us and all these things he teaches us. I mean, you know, just how many of you know just integrity with money? When you get convicted about something, that's him teaching. Don't do that. That'll, in other words, he said that'll cause your foundation to crumble in the storm. You won't be able to stand. Isn't that right? So all the ways means not just what he says about finances, but everything he teaches us. Holiness. Amen. Right living. Correcting ourselves, judging ourselves. And all those things are us being prepared to handle greater increase. So every time we decide to be a doer of the Word, whether we feel like it or not, we're laying another brick on the foundation of our prosperity. Praise God. I don't want just the kind of prosperity that's a flash in the pan. And then disappears. I want the kind that lasts and lasts and lasts. Good times, bad times. Pastor Jay doing good. Good times, bad times. The Slaymakers are doing good. The good times, bad times. The Echoes are doing good. That's whenever the body of Christ really starts shining. People start realizing, wait a minute, there's something about those people. What is it about those people? Well, it's not us. It's our foundation. We go through the same storms others go through, but it's our foundation. Faith doesn't mean you don't have tests of trust. Faith just means you come out smelling like a rose. And you took ground in the middle of it. You just... I've been on that lately. Taking ground. Hallelujah. So really, this kind of prosperity, it really has power in it from God to make it stand through the world's sin and death cycles. Amen. But we got to get not just, see, God brought our spirit, whenever we were born again, he brought our spirit out of the law of sin and death. We got to get our minds out of the law of sin and death. We got to get our mode of operation financially out of the law of sin and death. Isn't that right? And every other area, we got to get it out of the law of sin and death. Because you can be born again and wander in the wilderness. The children of Israel were born again. No, they weren't born again literally, but that's the type. I'm talking about the type. In type, they were born again, and they wandered, that generation were wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that because I got things to do for God. So we got to get our thinking out of the law of sin and death cycle. We got to get everything out of that thing. And the way we do it is renewing our mind and practicing being obedient to the Word. Hallelujah. So Matthew 7, 24 through 27, the verse we've been referring to and haven't looked at, but you remember, whoever hears these sayings and builds his house and does them, like building a house on the rock, so forth. Notice, whoever hears these sayings and does them. He didn't say, whoever hears these sayings and argues about it. Whoever hears these sayings and comes to the pastor after the service and gives his opinion on what he thinks about it. I believe there's an end time transfer of wealth. I'm not exactly preaching that tonight. You can have all that I'm preaching without the end time transfer of wealth. But I believe there is an end time transfer of wealth. I'm not waiting on that for my big pop. You know what I mean? I believe it's in the Bible. It's days of heaven on earth, exactly. But it's in type. It's in there. Whenever Israel came out of Egypt, they came out with silver and gold, so forth. But then James 5 talks about it. They've laid up treasure for the last days. You can read James 5, 1 through 7. However, that all being said, there is an end time transfer of wealth, I believe. And I don't believe it's coming into the hands of every believer. I believe it's coming into the hands of people who have been prepared for it through what they are doing now with what God has given them to be stewards over. Amen. They've passed the test. They learned to obey the Spirit and follow the Word regardless of the immediate inconveniences. I mean, tithing, when you first start tithing, it's an immediate inconvenience. But I'm not looking for an immediate blessing. I'm looking for something long range here. And in the long run, this is much better off. Amen. Praise the Lord. How much should we go here? I'm going to be finishing up here a little bit. Divine prosperity really increases as your spiritual development increases. The more you learn to follow the Spirit and not your mind, the more you learn to do the Word whenever you don't feel like it, the more you renew your mind with the Word, the more you get the Word in you to build your faith. You get the Word into you about integrity and so forth and so on. And these things, you know, just so many things I can't go into all tonight. Get the Word in you about walking in love. As all these things get built into our spirit, we begin to grow spiritually, and divine prosperity comes out of that. Now, this is the kind I'm interested in. There's other kinds that when the shaking comes, goodbye, you know. But I'm interested in this kind. I'm into something stable, something permanent, something long range. Hallelujah. That won't destroy me, won't destroy my relationship with God. The prosperity of a fool will destroy him. I don't want something that destroys my relationship with God. That you can have prosperity and have a good fellowship and relationship with God. Amen. And live holy and be without covetousness and the love of money and putting it first and serving the dollar. And you can have prosperity without any of that. The reason Christians don't think so is because the only thing they've ever seen is people doing all of that stuff, coveting and putting it first and staying out of church to get it and all that. They've only seen that. And they haven't seen much demonstration of the kind I'm talking about. Let's let them see it. What do you say? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So this is the kind that, you know, the Bible's really talking about. This is the kind you and I ought to be interested in. And it's the kind you really can't do on your own. You say, well, if I just do this or this, you know, I could be a multimillionaire. What God has in mind, you can't even do on your own. It goes way beyond. Besides that, this kind keeps you in the territory where you don't put out tens and hundreds of thousands for this problem and that problem and this sickness and that problem. I mean, how do you pay for that? You can't. There's a lot of things you're kept from that you couldn't afford to pay for if you were in it. Through just being a doer of the Word. Woo, glory. Many of your children have been spared many troubles in the hospital, and many of you have missed many things. Children dying, accidents, all kinds of stuff. Just because you're obedient to the Word, being a doer of the Word. What's that worth in dollars? You couldn't afford a lot of those things. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that's increase, isn't it? Hallelujah. I know, I'm thinking of some stories right now. I got to move on. But just some things God's protected different ones of us from. Praise the Lord. You can't put a price on it so many times. Hallelujah. So the lesson is, remember he said here, I'm teaching you to be a doer of my, here in back to Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 3. I'm teaching you to live by my word. Live by my word. Don't live by the dollar. Don't live by your mind. Live by my word. The lesson is that natural things are not your source. Being a doer of the word is your source. And get weaned off of your own thinking and get weaned onto obedience to what I said. Amen. Stay in faith. Believe. Keep believing what I said. That's the lesson. Amen. It's really a test. This book is a test. God does not test us with hardship. Satan does that. This is real clear in the scriptures. But God does prove us with his word. He gives us his word to see if we'll do it. And whenever we'll do it, he'll say, they just proved to me they can handle some more. Bible says that in a number of places, that he does prove us with his word. So this is a test. Amen. We can fall on one side or the other. It's up to us. The biggest word in the Bible, I heard a pastor friend of mine say recently, the biggest word in the Bible is if. If you do this, then I will do this. It's a little word, but it's a big word. The biggest one in the Bible. And so this is a test. You can get on one side of it or the other. It's just up to you. You know, God's an equal opportunity God. You get over here, there's blessing. You get over here, that's the other side of the if. And God didn't put you over here. You put yourself over there by disobedience. And when it catches up to you, don't blame God. You know what I'm talking about? So praise God for the word. Hallelujah. People say money is a heart test, but really it's the word about your money that is the heart test. Where your treasure is, or there's your heart going to be also. That's true, but what the Bible says about what to do with that is the real test. To do with that money. Praise the Lord. Everybody still glad you came to church tonight? You get to preaching about money, it gets a little quiet, but... Glory to God. And so the test is whether we're going to believe and obey his instructions whenever the money's there and when it's not. It's whether money's going to make our decisions or whether God, what he said, is going to make our decisions. Well, I just can't afford that. Okay, go ahead and get on the other side. That's your prerogative. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. Amen. Yeah. Everybody still glad you came? So it is what God tells us and reveals to us brings things up in our hearts. Sometimes we see what the word says and something comes up in our heart like unbelief or, oh, that's just, they're just saying that because they want money or... When that comes up, it reveals what has been in there.
Exactly.
Dot, 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 and which has been hindering your prosperity all along. The word is a revealer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When the word is preached, you remember in Luke 16, one time Jesus was preaching on the word. You can't serve God and mammon. And the Bible says the Pharisees who were covetous derided him. What did that word do? He preached the word, and what did it do? It brought up out of them what was in them, covetousness. It revealed it. And when the word is preached and people get critical, they say, that's just all preachers are interested in and all that. It just showed you why you're not prospering. What came up out of you when the word was preached? That's been in there. And that's been hindering your prosperity the whole time. What was the purpose of the word? To bring that up out of there, reveal it to you, show you where the problem has been, and then stand back and say, now you decide whether you want to get that washed out of you, get that change, get your mind renewed, and then move on and be counted faithful in more things, or stay where you are. It's up to you. Woo, that's tight, but it's right. Amen. Sometimes the Word of God will reveal where money's been making your decisions for you. Well, I can't tithe, or I can't give to the over and above because I don't have much, you know. I can't do what God's telling me to do. Well, praise the Lord. Money is just a tool. It's not something that's supposed to be controlling us. Something we're to control and use for the kingdom of God. We don't live for it. We don't serve it. We serve God and we make it serve us. Amen. And our full attention is not to be on money. It's to be on the plan. Fulfilling God's plan. Not on the cost of the plan. Not on how much money the plan calls for. When our attention's on that, when our attention's on the need, then money's making our decisions, not the Spirit of God, not the Word of God. Okay, I'm going to close now because this is getting a little tight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I could feel it at the end of Richard Roberts' service. It was getting a little bit intense. I'm talking about Sunday night when he's preaching on finances. People were like shouting at the beginning and then they're like, excuse me. Amen. Well, let's get that out of us. What do you say? Hallelujah. Let's stay in the Spirit, stay in faith, keep the power of God working. Hallelujah. Keep rejoicing whenever the pastor preaches on it too. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God for the word tonight. Glad I came to church, Pastor. Hallelujah. I tell you, I've learned something. There is no freedom like being free from money. Whenever it comes and the blessings of the Lord come, but you're not bound by it. If he told you to turn around, and I've done it many times, turn around and just give it to somebody else. There's nothing like that kind of freedom. It's like the devil can't. That's like saying to the devil, "You'll never have a hook in me."
Come on.
About money.
That's right.
I am free from you. You cannot lead me around like a bull with a ring in its nose by money telling me you can't do that or you better do this. I'll just say, off with you. Here, take that money and give it away. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say, well, I can't do that. Well, then you're not in the right system. Jesus said that man, the rich young ruler, it was because that money had him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wasn't that he had money, is that he had him. Let's stand together. If you're happier now than when you came in, you're the real deal. If you're really nervous right now, well, maybe we better preach on it again on Sunday or something. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You ever notice how much the devil fights you in the area of finances? That's because he knows something maybe you ought to get a clue on. Yeah. What's he know? He knows that in your hands, you're dangerous. Glory to God. And the kingdom of God is going to advance. Hallelujah. And I'll say this. If you got nothing and you're serving God, and then you come into a lot of increase, and you backslide, the money didn't do that. Money is only an enabler. It enables you to do what you had in your heart to do the whole time. I've seen people get money, buy a lake home, and they never show up in church anymore. That was in their heart before they got the money. They just couldn't afford to before they got the money. The truth. Money's an enabler. It enables you to do what you really have in your heart. It's neither good nor bad. It's neither evil or good. It's just an enabler. It'll take on the nature of the one that has it. You can do good things with it. You can do bad things with it. And don't think if the devil uses it anywhere, you can't clean it up and use it for God. If somebody gives you money that came, you know, was hidden from a drug deal and they forgot where it was and you don't want to use it for anything, bring it to me. I'll use it for something.
Come on now.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We'll get this parking lot built with it or something, you know. Amen. You got scripture for that? Absolutely do. There's Persian. The King James says, wise men came from the east and gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Jesus. Wise men are Persian astrologers. How do they get that money? Telling fortunes.
Yeah.
Be like Ouija boards today or looking into crystal balls. Telling fortunes. Thank you very much. I'll take all your money. They brought that money to Jesus. God cleaned it up and used it to save his son for 2 years over in Egypt. Yeah, glory.